Hi, I'm Justin.
And I'm David.
And we are the Baseball Guys. This is our very first podcast. In the future, what we're wanting to do is a baseball podcast. We want to If this goes well, we get a decent fan base, and you guys actually like what we're doing. We're hoping to expand into more sports, such as football, perhaps basketball or hockey. Dave's an avid college football fan.
This is true.
But for now, we're just going to stick with what we know, which is baseball. We have some pretty big plans. We're going to do a 30 teams in 30 podcasts. Dave can actually tell you what we're going to be doing with that.
For that, we're just going to be breaking down after the baseball postseason is over with. We're going to be going through each major league team and breaking down what they need to be successful next season, what their biggest problems were in the past season, and maybe look at potential players that they need to sign.
Right. We are the GMs of every team, and we're going to tell you what's going to make every team better.
Yes.
Today we're going to start with Gold Glove and Silver Sluggers. Most people can't even name past winners of the Silver Slugger.
That's because there are so many of them. It's not really a I guess you would say prestigious award, since there are so many of them.
And unlike the Gold Glove, which is given out for defense, there's really no set criteria for the Silver Slugger. Some people think it's based on power hitting because it's the slugger. Some people think it's just overall offense.
Right. I guess the definition is the best offensive player at each position.
Yeah, that's definitely what they're gunning for. But I mean, Jack Wilson has a Silver Slugger and no Gold Glove, so I don't really think it's set in stone what they're going to give this award out for. But
yes,
either way, it is handed out each year. We'll start with the National League. Who do you have as your National League Silver Slugger catcher?
My catcher is Brian McCann.
I agree.
Yeah, I didn't think there would be any argument there. Who is your first baseman?
My first baseman is actually Joey Votto. I know it's back and forth this year between he and Albert Pujols, and there's another award that they'll be battling over that we'll get into later. But
yes, I actually chose Albert Pujols for this award based on the fact that, well, I'll tell you why I chose Albert later, because later on in our awards discussion.
I think it could be discussed now. I mean, one topic of conversation with the MVP is encompassing Pujols' overall play, but if we're looking at strictly offense, I think you have to go with Joey Votto. I mean,
he's the leader. I don't know if he's the leader, but I know he's leading Albert in both slugging and on base, which essentially would be OPS. However, I went with Albert because he's had – this is such a – it's a cliche argument, I guess. He has more home runs, more RBIs. I think he's performed better down the stretch despite the fact that his team has not been in the postseason race, to where Votto actually missed some time.
That's very true.
Here's another reason why I think he'll get the Silver Slugger, because – I think it will be a consolation prize.
That's a very good argument. We've seen it happen before with the consolation prize.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't see Votto winning the Gold Glove, so I think if he doesn't win the Gold Glove at first base and he doesn't win the Silver Slugger at first base, how can you argue that he is the MVP? As this is an offensive award, I've got the numbers right here. You are correct in that Votto does lead Pujols in on-base percentage, 423 to 414. They're actually tied in slugging.
Yes.
They've both slugged 598. Oh. Obviously, this all depends on tonight's games and the last game of the season tomorrow.
Yes.
So overall, Votto is leading in OPS. There's other numbers to look at. Truthfully, I'm going with who I think is going to win rather with who I feel should win. Deep down, I feel Albert should win both the Silver Slugger and the MVP. But I'm arguing who will win, and I think they'll look at simple numbers, OPS. They won't look at BABIP, which is a stat. It's gaining in popularity. It really looks at almost luck. It's a batting average on balls in play. And when you look at BABIP, Joey Votto has a 360 BABIP compared to Albert Pujols' 298. So the argument can be made that Votto's actually, he's hit better but he's hit into a lot of luck. So,
right.
I mean, sometimes it's just the way it goes.
Just to clarify on something, I also chose all of my award winners on who I think will win, not who I think should win. So,
yes.
Otherwise, if we went on who I think should win, I would have some completely different awards. But I would like to stress that point right
that's
now.
That's usually the way it goes. Yeah, so overall, while I feel Albert is the better offensive player, I think Votto will win strictly because they've got to have a reason after giving him the MVP, which I feel he will get. Plus, the lack of games for Votto may actually work more in his favor just because their numbers are so comparable that if Votto did it in less games, that could definitely work out
well,
in his favor.
I can't.
As far as the counting stats.
I can't say that you are wrong for picking Votto, and I can't say that, like, I can't make an argument against Votto. I think both candidates are very deserving of the award. I will just stick with Albert, and you will stick with Joey Votto. So.
Yeah. I don't think I agree. You really can't go wrong either way. An award I feel that there's really no other options is the NL second base Silver Slugger. I feel this is Dan Uggla's award.
I see. I actually went a different direction with that. I chose Brandon Phillips.
Brandon Phillips
of the Cincinnati Reds, in case there was any question of which team he played on.
Oh, I thought you meant the other Brandon Phillips.
I went with him. Like, Dan Uggla completely slipped my mind. I would like to point out he has had an incredible September. As I've been paying attention to baseball lately, his numbers have been off the charts. Like,
his numbers are off the charts.
But I am going to stick with Brandon Phillips because I just don't want to change it right now.
Looking at just almost all of the stats, Dan Uggla, home runs 32 to Phillips 18, batting average 285 to Phillips 272. Getting more advanced, you have, I mean, just OPS, Dan Uggla 870, Brandon Phillips 758. I don't know, it's a risky gamble, Dave.
Well, I suppose if it's not too late, I'll change my... I will change my prediction to Dan Uggla.
He's got convincing numbers. I honestly think if he could have kept his pace up for the entire year, Kelly Johnson would have been excellent opposition.
Kelly
his numbers still turned out very
well. Yeah, Kelly Johnson was red hot right out of the gate. I don't think anyone predicted him keeping it up as well as he was hitting in April for the entire season. Yeah.
And I mean, I'm not going to sell him short. Kelly Johnson still ended the year with fantastic numbers.
Yes.
He's very comparable to Dan.
I believe he had career highs in most of his numbers.
Oh, he had career highs in almost everything.
Yeah.
Like I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I imagine that career year for Kelly Johnson, and just so happens to be around the time that he's going to be looking for a contract. So that works out in his
favor. Wonderful contract season. Some players thrive in that. Some. Don't.
It's very true. Just ask Paul Konerko.
Yes. Don't ask Felipe Lopez.
Since David Wright fell off years ago, there's really only been one NL third baseman worth writing about, and that's Ryan Zimmerman.
Ryan Zimmerman. I'm gonna have to agree. I'll have to agree with that. I actually had a close. Well, I don't know how close you would have been. But I would like to throw out some props for Mr. Scott Rolen.
I think Scott. Good mention.
I think he, I guess the same situation as Kelly Johnson. Had he kept it up like all season, like he started off potentially as an MVP candidate in April and May.
True.
But he kind of, I guess he's old in quotations, I guess. But nevertheless, I will agree with Ryan Zimmerman. So.
Yeah. I mean, at each position, it's actually been a really good year for baseball. In the year of the pitcher, there's actually a lot of guys with noteworthy stats. I mean,
We
both agreed on Ryan Zimmerman. I agree Scott Rolen's a good shout. You can also mention Martin Prado, although Prado's the only argument against him is definitely playing time, although he actually had more playing time than Zimmerman.
Yeah, well, he's now out for the year with that hip pointer. I mean, what, 3-4 games in the regular season left, but still...
Yeah, it's always this is the fun time of the year when every injury is reported as player X is out for the season, just to make it sound that much more dramatic.
Yes.
I remember about 6 games ago, they announced that Yadier Molina was done for the year. and then there were 9 games left. It's like,
right,
it's not exactly a big deal.
And Adam Wainwright shutting him down for the season, making him miss his one start left. So.
Yes, oh my. that whole start. Although that start, would have been the Cy Young audition.
It would have been the Cy Young audition. However, I believe it's going to help him for next season. I mean...
Oh, for sure. For sure. I mean, a Cy Young is great to win, but it's a one-season accomplishment. Adam,
right.
He's definitely the kind of player I think he'd like to win it eventually, and I think he will win one eventually. But just the way that he pitches, especially with the curveball, I mean,
right.
He needs to protect his arm.
But more on that topic as the show
Much
progresses.
Later, yes, obviously.
Who did you have as your shortstop for the Nationals?
This is another absolute no-brainer category. It's Troy Tulowitzki.
I cannot argue with that. At all.
I didn't think you would. Troy Tulowitzki has pretty much been on the Dave's boy list since his rookie year.
This is true. I was one of those who pushed for Troy Tulowitzki to win the 2007 Rookie of the Year. He finished second. I still believe he. You could make a strong argument that he should have won Rookie of the Year. But Ryan Braun, again, not a bad pick for the 2007 Rookie of the Year. Troy Tulowitzki has had a Ruthian September in which he's hit. He's driven in, like, what, 35 runs, hit 13, 14 home runs this month. Just unheard of numbers.
Yeah, he's in 1 month alone, he went from a great player to an MVP candidate. He really pushed himself into the conversation.
Oh, yes.
So definitely great. Let's see. I just to get his stats for September and October, and we'll include August. But August, a .351 batting average. September and October, he had 15 home runs. If I recall, he had 14 in 15 games. So, I mean, that's just
I think you're right.
Unheard
yeah.
of numbers. Unheard of.
I don't think you can get any hotter than he was unless you were to hit, like, literally every pitch that was thrown to you.
Which it seemed like he was.
Yeah, I know. But, like, let's not forget he was coming off an injury that forced him to miss a lot of time. In between the first half and the second half, like, over the All-Star break, I think it was, everybody thought he was going to be an MVP candidate before the season started, and then he did get hurt, and then September rolled around, and he just, oh my goodness, I just can't say enough about him. Like, he was fantastic.
I think the key thing to look at, compare him to, I think, the obvious second place is Hanley Ramirez.
Yes.
And Hanley's numbers, he had 21 home runs, 92 runs, hit 163 hits, and this was all in 142 games.
Right.
Tulowitzki played in 121 games and had 27 home runs, 89 runs, and 148 hits. He exceeded Hanley's home runs and almost matched his hits in 20 less games.
What was Hanley's average? Because if I'm not mistaken, it was it below 300?
It's right at 300. So if he plays tomorrow, he could definitely land below 300, but he was right on.
Who, Hanley? Because
yes.
Hanley's been shut down for the season, I believe.
Well, then, right at 300.
Yeah, okay. I could have swore I saw him, like, below 300, but either way, that's a down year for Hanley, so.
It's interesting, like, you've heard that about Pujols also.
I know, it's
hard for me to consider it a down year when any other shortstop in the game would kill to finish with, as a 20-30 player,
right.
Batting 300.
Right.
Hanley's down year is a great year for a normal player.
By the way, I would like to make this clear for all of our listeners out there. This is officially no longer a down year for Albert Pujols. He's got 42 home runs, I believe, 42 or 43, and 117 RBIs and hitting .312. That is not a down year, even for Albert Pujols.
I was looking that up just in case it came up, because I know you have a history of being somewhat of a downer sometimes yourself.
Yes.
And I wanted to be able to retaliate, but I'm glad that you mentioned it because, yes, Pujols' numbers, they are not down in any way.
He's exceeded his home run totals for his 2005 and 2008 MVP seasons, in which 2008 was 37, 2005 was 41. RBIs, he had 116 in 2008, I believe, so he's got one more as it stands right now. His average is at a career low as it stands because I believe in 2002 he only hit .314, and that's his
Very
career
good.
Low for batting average. But nevertheless, he's got one more game to bring that up. So
yes, and even then, you can't really say anything. I mean, his OPS is right in line with where it always is. It
right.
was above one. He exceeded 100 walks for the third time, for the third straight year. So his discipline is still there. The strikeouts were the highest they've been since his rookie year.
I think a lot of that had to do with the first few months of the season.
Well, I mean, even the entire season. I mean, the first few months showed a Cardinals offense that was clicking very well. But in general, the Cardinals offense, pretty poor. I hate to say it as a Cardinals fan.
It's one of those situations where we've had this discussion about, like, where my pessimism has been overwhelming. And I've said the Cardinals offense has just been horrible all season, in which they've, by numbers, like according to numbers, they've had a good offense. But when you watch the team, it's not as good of a result.
It's a good team on paper. They built a very solid top to bottom team that will get you into a playoff race, such as it did this year.
Yes.
But they just don't, to use a Joe Morgan word, they don't have the consistency yet. You're relying on Brendan Ryan to have another 300 year. You're relying on Skip Schumacher to have another 300 year. And those you're wanting them to be everyday players, and that's just asking a lot.
Right. Well, I think potentially Brendan Ryan is an everyday player strictly because of his defense. That is another argument for when we analyze the Cardinals later on.
Moving on, we have the Silver Sluggers for the National League in the outfield. My three outfielders, I've gone with Carlos Gonzalez, Matt Holliday, and Ryan Braun. I think all three have had superb years.
I agree with you wholeheartedly with all three of them. I will say Andre Ethier, I would have thrown him in, but he did have that injury which caused him to miss some time, and he kind of lost some attention down the stretch.
Yeah, just like other positions, there's definitely room for others in the discussion. You can bring up Jason Worth of the Phillies, Aubrey Huff of the Giants had a good year.
Yes.
And obviously
where do you place Aubrey Huff in a Silver Slugger, I guess, campaign? Because he's played left, he's played right, he's played first base, he can play third base. He's just one of those guys who you could place anywhere. I think he's played more first base this year than he's played any other position.
You are correct. He had 98 games at first base and 63 in the in his games in the outfield. He is the fifth best outfielder in the game. If we take him out and put him into the first base discussion, then I think if you're getting a top five, then that allows room for the rookie sensation, Jason Hayward.
Right. I'm curious to see who you had for pitcher.
I actually went with Yovani Gallardo. He's just he leads the league in home runs. He took the Carlos Zambrano title.
Yeah.
He's had a great offensive year, and he batted .254, which doesn't sound like a lot, but this is pitchers we're talking about.
Yes, yes.
He ended the year with four home runs. I mean, there's not a lot you can talk about when you're talking about offensive pitchers.
Right, right. I can't argue with that. I chose Mike Leake. He went 16 for 48. He had a .333 batting average, a .407 on-base percentage, and a .354 slugging. I think he had a fantastic start. Obviously, he got shut down or had limited time down the stretch because he's a young player and he got hurt.
And they didn't want that arm for the playoffs.
Yeah. He didn't have any homers. He only had three RBIs, so those numbers were down. But I think he was a really, really good hitting pitcher. But
yeah, we'll see how that plays out. It's a very unimportant award.
Yes.
I mean, Silver Slugger, as we discussed, is unimportant. And then when you get into pitcher Silver Slugger, then you're just
right,
completely wasting your breath.
Right.
Let's go ahead and move on to the American League. We'll start with catcher again. I don't see how there would be any conversation here. I feel it's Joe Mauer.
I don't disagree. Which
Mauer's
I agree. Yeah.
He's in the conversation with Mike Piazza as one of probably the best offensive catchers of all time.
Yes. The rumors keep getting thrown around. Can they keep him at catcher? That recent knee injury makes the rumors even more talked about. Nevertheless, he's one of the greatest offensive catchers who's ever played the game.
What I feel is strange there is when you have situations where you have to move the catcher from behind the plate, either because you've got a prospect coming up or you just want to limit innings behind the plate, like looking at, say, Victor Martinez or Mike Napoli, they've moved to first base. And all the conversation I've heard with Joe Mauer is moving him to third base.
Right.
Now, obviously, it's because they have Justin Morneau at first base. But I don't – Mauer's an athletic guy, but I don't see anything
– I don't see how he
could
play
third
base.
Baseman.
Right. He's a very, very – he's a very big guy. I believe he's 6'6". I don't know of too many people who are that tall who play anything other than first base or pitch or catch sometimes. So I don't know if being a tall guy would stunt his ability to play third baseman. I just don't see Joe Mauer playing third base. I see DH, first base, or catcher.
I definitely see that. Like, I mean, it'd be easy to work around. Then you can, you know, you can put him over at first base and Morneau at DH for a couple games. I mean, they can definitely work this to get Mauer time behind the plate without having to put him over at the hot corner. So let's move along to what we were just talking about, a Minnesota first baseman. If he wouldn't have had the concussion, I think he'd be in the discussion for this award. But we're talking AL first base Silver Sluggers. I'm going to go with a strong MVP candidate, Miguel Cabrera.
I will wholeheartedly agree with you, because if the Tigers were in contention, I think hands down he would be your MVP. It's unfortunate that the Tigers were as far back as they were to end the season in the standings.
Well, the Tigers, it's to be expected.
Well,
they're a disappointing team.
This is true. I can't disagree with that either. But nevertheless, Miguel Cabrera, I don't know what else there is to say. I think he would be your MVP if the Tigers were in contention.
He's definitely a strong player. I just hope if he does win the Silver Slugger for his wife's sake, there's no alcoholic celebrations.
Yes, I believe he's actually not drinking anymore. Now, whether or not he actually follows through with that, that's another story, but oh well.
I hope not. An interesting story that I'll get into on a later award, but just from if I don't pop out with it, just remind me of alcoholic baseball players.
Alcoholic baseball players. I gotcha.
So let's go ahead and move on to the second base Silver Slugger. This is another no-brainer. It has to be Robinson Cano.
Mm-hmm. There's no other candidate. Maybe if Dustin Pedroia plays this season, he contends. But Robinson Cano he's another MVP candidate. But he's in a different situation in which the Yankees lineup is just too strong
for him to be an MVP. To the wayside. I mean, there was a time when the Yankees were falling apart offensively and Robinson Cano was their rock this year.
Yes.
But because of all the big names, I think he's definitely going to get some votes and he's going to finish high, which we'll get into.
Mm-hmm.
But he definitely... He's a contender, but he's not a winner.
Right.
But for Silver Slugger, he is by far a winner. I mean, just looking at it's a simple stat, but batting average, Robinson Cano .314. His closest competitor among, you know, qualified players is Howie Kendrick with a .280 average.
Oh my goodness.
That's insane.
Yeah.
I mean, he's definitely helped out that two of the stronger offensive second basemen did lose a lot of time to injuries in Dustin Pedroia and Ian Kinsler. I think even with those two around, I mean, Kinsler, he's a great offensive player, but he was always, like, his batting average had been declining.
Mm-hmm. Well, he's kind of one of those guys who, he's sort of in the leadoff hitter category. He gets on base a lot, and he steals bases. His power numbers, I can honestly admit I have not paid attention to his numbers throughout his career, but I don't believe he's had power like Robinson Cano has had. Obviously, the Yankees lineup is more superior than the Rangers, so the RBI opportunities for Cano would be even greater. I'm not taking anything away from Ian Kinsler. He's a great second baseman, good player. But like we've both clearly stated, Robinson Cano is hands down the Silver Slugger second baseman.
Moving along, we have our AL third base Silver Slugger. It's looking like the AL, there's a lot of no conversations here, because I feel this is Adrian Beltre's award.
Yeah, I can't disagree there. I really like Evan Longoria. He's a solid player, but I don't think he could have competed with Beltre's numbers. Beltre, you can make the argument, he's the MVP for the Red Sox. In a down offensive year that the team had, Beltre's numbers were solid.
Oh, yeah, easily MVP for the Red Sox. I mean, and over Longoria... OPS, Adrian Beltre had .919, Evan Longoria .879.
Yeah.
So Evan Longoria, a great year, but just nowhere near Adrian Beltre.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that again? Contract.
Yes. Actually, I believe
someone's
Adrian
playing
Beltre
for some
is
millions.
I believe he's under an option for next season.
Let me look on COTS. It's actually a player option, and looking at this option, I think there's no chance at all that he picks it up. It's a $5 million player option for 2011, and after the strong offensive year he showed, I mean, he definitely has injury history and down years in his career, but I think he can definitely top $5 million annually. Plus, there are teams out there. I mean, I think he'd be a great fit on the Los Angeles Angels. They were trying Brandon Wood out at third base this year, and that did not work.
That was horrible.
So yeah. I think there could definitely be talk between the Red Sox. I think he could fit on the Angels.
I would say the Cubs, but they are rebuilding.
Yeah, and I mean, Aramis Ramirez, they've got a sticky situation there. He has a player option, and his player option, I believe, it's in at least $11 million. Probably, I think it's more than that.
Right.
One of those things where, I mean, he's been so horrible lately that he's going to take that heavy payday and put off the lighter contracts. I think he'd be a fit on the Cardinals, but cost is obviously a big issue there. I mean,
I don't think the Cardinals can afford him next season.
I mean,
simply because of the priorities they're going to be going after.
Yeah.
First, I should say priority they're going after first.
Yeah, I mean, we can have this conversation on a later podcast, but definitely, I mean, there's going to be a market out there for Adrian Beltre after this strong offensive year. This brings us back into offense, which gets us to the AL shortstop. And as much as it pains me to say, the AL shortstop Silver Slugger, I'm going with Derek Jeter.
I agree, because there was nobody else I could think of who deserved the AL shortstop.
I honestly don't have issues with Derek Jeter. I don't dislike him. He's just one of those guys that's easy to dislike. And
yes,
obviously he consistently wins the Gold Glove, even though his defense is, for the most part, terrible. But
we will get into that argument when we move on to our next section of awards, because I've actually got a different shortstop.
Oh, I do also. But I'm just saying he's won his fair share.
Yes.
And he somehow gets known for his defense, even though his defense is the worst part of his game. And this is an award I feel is actually earned. Jeter is a very, very, I wouldn't even say good. He's a great, great shortstop in terms of offense. And even this year, if you're looking at OPS, ahead of him you've got Alexi Ramirez and Marco Shotaro from the Red Sox. And I just think the numbers are so close that managers won't pass up the chance to give Jeter the award. I mean,
right.
I think he deserves it anyway.
Well, there's just no marketability for Alexi or Scudero, really.
No.
I mean, not much has been said about them all season. They're two quiet players. Jeter's one of those sexy
things.
He's
one of the faces of baseball.
Yes.
And I mean, he's won it the last 4 years, so I don't see any reason to change. If we're looking at outfielders, my first outfielder, far and away, an MVP candidate, Josh Hamilton. My second outfielder, this is actually a tough one, just because he's played at so many positions this year. It was hard to place him, but you have to give an award to Jose Bautista.
I had him in the outfield for Silver Slugger.
And I think the third outfielder is where we will vary. My third outfielder was Nick Swisher.
I actually considered him. I won't lie to you. I had him on my paper, and then I erased him. I went with Alexis Rios.
Not a bad pick.
Swisher, also a good choice. I just had a hard time, like, deciding a third outfielder. I mean, to me, Josh Hamilton, Jose Bautista, the two, their years were just so incredible.
Those two were slam dunks.
They were locks,
yeah,
yes.
There's a lot of close
third
calls.
Outfielders, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I chose Nick Swisher because, I mean, you're looking at Josh Hamilton, Jose Bautista. Hamilton had a 1.043 OPS. Bautista's was 1.005. Obviously, that's aided by his ridiculous slugging.
54.
Yes.
Yeah.
You've got Shin-Soo Choo at 886 and Nick Swisher at 868. I personally battled with giving the award to Choo, but if you've got a Yankee that close, I think the Yankee will get the award. Call it an East Coast bias, but that's just my thinking.
Not just the Yankee, the fact that your other guy that you're debating plays for the Cleveland Indians, and they've had a not
so good
season.
It's always sticky giving it to giving an offensive award to anybody on a horrible offensive team.
Right.
I'm not a huge fan of Alex Rios. I used to be. I loved Alex Rios for his promise. This year, definitely a huge bounce back year.
Yeah. It seems as though he's had promise for so many years.
He's one of those
guys.
He's had
promise for every season.
I mean,
and then
for fantasy baseball players, he's the guy that you always take as your sleeper pick. And I mean, this year he definitely helped out. I mean, 21 home runs. He got back into 2020 form. He actually went 20-30 with the 34 stolen bases, and a .284 average definitely helps his case. If he got a Silver Slugger, I don't think it'd be. I think it'd be a weird pick, but I don't think it'd be the worst pick.
Right.
And then we get to our DH, a position I don't feel should exist, but that's a different conversation. Who did you go with, Dave?
Yes, I went with Vladimir Guerrero.
Vlad Guerrero, another guy on a huge bounce back here.
Yes.
And really sticking it to the Angels.
Oh, yes.
I went with Luke Scott. Kind of an odd pick from the Orioles.
I can't disagree with that. I mean, Luke Scott, he's really been solid ever since he went to Baltimore.
He's just another one of those quiet players.
Yeah, he just plays for Baltimore. That's the thing.
Yeah.
No marketability.
He's a strong player. No. And I mean, even his name, like Vladimir Guerrero, that's a marketable name.
Yes.
You'll remember the name Vladimir Guerrero. Like, thinking of other DHs, Hideki Matsui, a very memorable name. Johnny Damon.
Edgar Martinez.
You still think of the face of Jesus leading the Red Sox to the 04 World Series.
Yes.
David Ortiz is one of the most marketable players in the game, behind probably only Manny Ramirez in terms of just straight personalities. And then you've got Luke Scott.
Yes.
Like, it's not even an interesting
A player
name.
With two first names.
Never a good sign.
No.
Two first names is the... Like, if you take one first name plus a second first name, what you have is a very boring person.
Yes, you do.
But, in my mind, he's a boring person that deserves a Silver Slugger Award. So, that rounds out our Silver Slugger conversation.
Yes.
Seems like we agreed on quite a few. Those are a couple areas of disagreement. Most notably, just the third AL outfielder. In the ALDH, but
third AL outfielder DH.
I don't think there's going to be any huge surprises there.
No,
when the awards are handed out.
Once again, it's also one of those quiet awards where
it's a crapshoot.
Yeah, you don't even hear when they're announced, really, or you don't even notice it because it's in the thick of the postseason, I believe. I don't think they're announced after the postseason.
They don't really report them on ESPN. Like if you want to see who won the Silver Slugger. You pretty much have to go to MLB.com.
Yeah,
it's definitely information you have to seek out.
Yes.
One award that actually gets a good amount of recognition but is still not totally shouted about is the Gold Glove.
Yes.
Which, as we know, it's supposed to be for the best defensive player at each position. I say supposed to be because it's not always given out to the best defensive player
at each position. It's the only defensive award out there, so...
Yeah, I mean, we can look at Derek Jeter. I mean, there's plenty of names. Torrey Hunter, he's not a bad defensive player, but...
Well, let's just go through our lists.
Eight times.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's...
Well, I mean, Ichiro, every year that he's been in the... And yeah, Ichiro's a fantastic player. And, well, let's just go through the awards. We'll get to any arguments.
Okay, we started with the NL last time, so we'll go ahead and start with the AL this time. I think that'll... spice things up a little bit.
Yes.
We can start with the catcher. I'm interested to hear yours. I'm kind of holding my tongue on mine.
I went with Joe Mauer.
I figured you would go that way. I think it's definitely a solid way.
Did you pick Gerald Laird?
No, because no one even knows who that is.
Okay.
Like, even if you follow baseball very, very closely, no one cares who Gerald Laird is.
Well, I mean, Gerald Laird's a solid defensive catcher, and he's gotten a lot of recognition for it.
He's very, very solid. He's one of those guys that should win an award. I mean,
like Mike Matheny.
Yes, actually, Mike Matheny's won three.
He did. He also, I believe, it was he and Ausmus that had that run where Ausmus won like eight, and
they bounced back
three.
And forth.
I'm thinking of Yachty earlier in his career when he.
Yachty definitely got snubbed quite a few times.
Yes.
We're definitely getting off track here. I went with Matt Wieters.
Okay.
His numbers, he's emerged as a very good defensive catcher. It's weird because when you heard him hyped last year, it was all about his offense.
Yeah.
But he's definitely come up as a very good defensive catcher. I mean, his offense isn't bad, but I think he's going to start turning heads due to defense.
Yeah.
It's also, I mean, Baltimore has a very young pitching staff, with the exception of Kevin Millwood.
Kevin Millwood had a good season last season because it was a contract year.
Yes.
So, but continue.
But Wieters, he did a very good job handling a young pitching staff.
I mean,
the two things you really look at when you're determining Gold Glove catchers, in my mind, are runners thrown out and the ability to handle the staff. Because, I mean, you don't think about it with defense, but it's still there. I mean, I actually read a very good example of defensive prowess that you don't think about. It goes back to the Cardinals. A lot of the conversation on our podcast will go back to the Cardinals. That'll be a forewarning for any potential fans that we get. But you look at a guy like Adam Wainwright, the pitch that become known for a huge 12-6 hammer curveball, and he has the comfort to throw it in any count, even if there's runners on third, because he knows if he throws that in the dirt, Yadier Molina is going to scoop it up. If you put a subpar catcher behind the plate, he may not have the comfort to throw that pitch.
It's developing,
and that limits his effectiveness.
Right, it's a player's trust on the team.
Yeah, and if you can trust your catcher's ability to scoop a ball out of the dirt, you're going to throw a lot more risky pitches. And I think Wieters, it's great that he's a young catcher. He's working with a young pitching staff. I mean, Baltimore, they've got the makings of a battery that's just going to be great for the next couple of years. But I think it starts this year with a surprise Gold Glove for Matt Wieters. This is actually one that I'm going with who I think should win. I agree Joe Mauer probably will take it just because he's won the last two. And the Gold Glove, it just becomes, unless you're just putrid in the field, if you've won one before, you'll win one again. Like, that's kind of the way it goes. Like, you have to be embarrassing in the field to not repeat at the Gold Glove.
Right, and I'm not going to disagree with anything you've just said about Matt Wieters. I'm simply going to say I'm going to stick with Joe Mauer because
it's still a solid pick.
Right, this is maybe the first year that Matt Wieters has showed how good he was defensively, and I don't think that's enough.
I can see him having to go through a couple more years. I mean, Yadier Molina was a great example. He had so many solid defensive years, and really it took a while for him to actually win one.
Alrighty. So shall we move on to our first baseman?
Tip things into Mowers. First baseman. This is another area where I chose someone who probably won't win, but I really feel should. I chose Derek Barton.
Derek Barton.
Yeah, if you're looking... Oh, I'm sorry, go ahead with your pick, and then I'll get into my reasons.
I was simply just going to say I'm not going to make you explain. I went with Mark Teixeira because of his history, because of the trend that if you've won a Gold Glove before and you're still playing solid defense, you will get another one.
Yeah, I mean, there's really no definitive defensive stat to look at for anybody. Like, defensive stats all have their flaws. But an emerging stat, not really emerging, it's been around for a while, but it's ultimate zone rating.
Yes.
And Barton's ultimate zone rating is 9.7. The closest to him is Lyle Overbay with 2.5. So you can watch and see Barton is a good defensive player. Teixeira, he's a guy I think he's really floated by on his reputation. I mean, he's won the awards before, so they just keep giving them to him. But really, his defensive numbers aren't solid.
I don't want to take anything away from Teixeira. I mean, Teixeira actually, he saved a lot of like runs from the Yankees ever since he's come over there. Like, he's like each team he's played with, watching him, he's made some incredible plays, like pick balls that are in the dirt or like save balls that are potentially going to go into the stands or whatever. I would say his defense is not so much based on like how much ground he covers as a first baseman as much as it is like saving other players' mistakes.
Yeah, he's not a cat-like defensive player. He's more just someone, he's a steady player. He won't win you games with his defense, but he won't lose them for you either.
Yes.
Looking at basic numbers, his fielding percentage is .998. Barton's is .993. Something simple like that could hurt Barton. Also comparing errors, which I feel is up there with wins and saves as one of the worst stats to gauge somebody. But Teixeira has 3 to Barton's 10.
Errors is based on an opinion of the scorekeeper. So
exactly. That's why I put no stock into errors, but some people do. So that's another one where I feel, so far I'm on my AL, I really feel like I'm choosing people that should win, but really won't. One that I feel should and will win is second base. I think this is Orlando Hudson's.
I agree.
Hudson's got a history of winning gold gloves. I mean, he's won 4 gold gloves.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he's got the history, and he's actually got solid defensive numbers this year. So I think Hudson is a safe, safe pick.
Moving on to third baseman. I'm going to let you go first on this one.
I'm going with a bounce back candidate, and as someone who it's a guy that some you could say he's winning the award as a consolation for not getting the MVP, but I really feel he's also had a strong defensive year. I'm going to go with Adrian Beltre.
I can't disagree with that. Adrian Beltre has always been a pretty good defensive third baseman.
He's been a great defensive third baseman.
Yeah, I went with Evan Longoria. Again, he won one last year. I think it's going to start. I think he's going to start a trend of like winning consecutive gold gloves.
I could see that. It's a position I don't think you can go wrong with Longoria. Their stats, they're not similar. Like if you're looking at the advanced stats like UZR, Beltre's got a long advantage. But more basic stats, I mean, Longoria has a .966 fielding percentage to Beltre's .957.
Right.
And only 14 errors to Beltre's 19. So, I mean, depending on how you want to look at defense, you can't go wrong with Evan Longoria. They both had solid years. They both have the history. This is one I think we can take the split on this where you can go one way and I can go the other and we can see where this one ends up.
Yes. I don't think it's going to be travesty either way it goes. I'm not going to throw a fit
gold
if
glove
Beltre
races
wins
aren't
it.
Yeah, I mean, gold glove races, they're not interesting, but this has the makings to be at least one moderately interesting gold glove race.
Well, I've thrown fits in the past of winners of the gold gloves simply because I've strongly disagreed with some of the picks. Like, I'll wait till we get to the National League to talk more about that.
I think this is going to segue right into our AL shortstop gold glove discussion, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Who are you going with,
Dave? I went with Elvis Andrews.
Interesting. I shied away from Mr. Gold Glove Derek Jeter, and I went with Alexi Ramirez of the Chicago White Sox. I think he's had a really strong year.
He's had a very strong year. He's a good Gold Glove candidate for shortstop. He's a good offensive shortstop. He plays in Chicago, which I think is odd that he's kind of a quiet player. I just see Elvis Andrews winning it. I think Elvis has gotten a lot of recognition from his for his defense. I really think he's going to take it. I really think they might, like, I don't know, this may be a bad reason, but I think the coaches and managers might kind of maybe feel bad for not giving it to Elvis last year when he should have won it and may give it as a consolation.
We've seen those happen, basically going back and correcting history award.
Right.
Yeah, actually, in future podcasts, we'd like to get I'd like to get Amy Preston, a friend of ours, on. She's from Chicago. And if she can give us kind of an insight into the Chicago fan base, because I'm also interested in Alexi Ramirez. I mean, he's a solid player. He's got, I mean, a great nickname, Sexy Alexi.
Yes.
So I've got to think he's a fan favorite, but you don't really hear a lot about him. You're very correct. I mean, the players you really hear about are like Paul Konerko. You hear about Carlos Quentin. I don't know. There's just Alexi doesn't really get a lot of recognition, it seems, but I'd like to see a Chicago fan's insight into this.
I imagine he is very, very, very well liked in Chicago. He's just not one of those trash talkers. His offensive numbers aren't jump out at you kind of numbers. Like they're not.
In terms of stats, I think there's a strong comparison between he and Brendan Ryan.
Right.
Of St. Louis. I mean, they're both solid defensive players. They're both. I mean, Brendan obviously had a horrible offensive year, and Alexi, he experienced that last year. So I think it's actually, they're a lot more similar than you would think. I don't know. I think it's a strong comparison, and Brendan is a very, very popular player in St. Louis.
Well, and Alexi's got the potential to play second base, shortstop, center field, I believe, as well. He could play third. I imagine he could play third if he can play shortstop.
If he can play something, like, even if he doesn't win, he's played something resembling gold glove shortstop.
Right.
If you can play a gold glove shortstop, you can play anywhere. I mean, you're absolutely right. 08, he played center field. He played third base, and he played second base. I mean, he only played one game at third base.
Still.
But I don't think he would embarrass himself over there.
Right.
But yeah, he's got the skills to play second and center field. So I think he could play any position on the field. I mean, this is a guy, if he really wanted to, I bet he could probably play catcher, you know.
I wouldn't.
There's not a lot of guys
that would say that. It would more. The only thing that would maybe block him from being catcher is calling a game.
Defensive wise, I just don't think he'd embarrass himself.
No.
But this is off track. Now let's get into outfielders. I know you mentioned his name earlier. I'm calling for the end of the Torii Hunter reign.
Are you?
on American League Gold Gloves. However, the Ichiro Suzuki dynasty rolls on. I've given my Gold Gloves to Ichiro Suzuki, Franklin Gutierrez, and Carl Crawford.
I'll tell you who I went with, and then first off, I'll say those are all good picks. I went with Ichiro, and the Ichiro, he's one of those guys who's won it every year since he's been in the league. I honestly think I believe he's earned all of those Gold Gloves because he plays a fantastic right field. He can play center field. He's got one of the best arms in the game, and he covers a lot of ground too because he's quick. I went with Torii Hunter just because I don't think he's not going to win the Gold Glove. I mean, he's Torii Hunter. It seems like he's going to win it every year until he retires.
Yeah, and I mean, it's eventually people have to catch on to the fact that Torii Hunter just isn't that good anymore. I mean, he was a great, great
right.
fielder, but now he's not that good anymore.
And I guess,
but this is the Rawlings Torii Hunter Award, so I can definitely agree that he probably will win. I definitely feel he doesn't deserve to.
Well, here's an interesting point to why he wouldn't win. I could see this like being one of the reasons why the Gold Glove is often given to center fielders from anybody from the outfield, and this is the year that Torii Hunter moved to right field to.
He accommodated for Peter Bourgeois.
Yes.
Or Bourgeois.
Or Burgess. Or however you want to say it. I can't spell it, let alone say it.
The bourgeoisie.
Yes. Nevertheless.
Peter Bourgeois.
Nevertheless, I think that could play into this being the first year that Torii Hunter does not win the award.
That's something to look at. I mean, there's two different ways you can look at that. You can say either A, Torii Hunter felt that his defense was so strong he would go to right field, and you know this rookie didn't have a strong right field arm. So I mean, you could play the pro Torii Hunter, or you could look at it as maybe the team told him.
I think it was the team. Like, I'll be honest, I think it was the team like saying, "Listen, this guy is our future. We're gonna put him in center field," and it was Torii obliging him. I think.
Yeah, I mean, defensively, I think. The Bourgeois gives them the better yes. chance to win a game.
I believe I read it like in an article somewhere where Torii said he knew this day would come sometime where he would not be like he wouldn't have to make that move from center to either right or left. Obviously right because for those of you out there who don't know, the right fielder is your second best defensive outfielder normally.
Yeah.
My third Gold Glove outfielder, I chose Curtis Granderson. I think Franklin Gutierrez was another good pick. I think Franklin Gutierrez was robbed last season, actually.
Yeah.
But
That's why I gave it to him. Yeah. There were a lot of guys I was thinking about over Gutierrez, but I think they'll correct the issue of not giving him the award.
Right. I think I just went
first Granderson's a good shout.
Yeah.
Though. Yeah, Granderson's definitely a good shout.
So that leaves us with pitcher, unless you'd like to talk more about the outfielders.
Oh, no, I think we've said what needs to be said there. I mean, there's a lot of able candidates, but I don't know. They'll probably draw names from a hat for all we know.
Yeah.
For pitcher, I honestly don't really feel that he deserves this award, but because of the opening day play.
Oh, goodness.
Mark Burley will win
yes.
the AL Gold Glove.
Yes.
I mean, you look at the opening day play and the fact that he won the award previously. I mean, he's got everything going in his favor to just repeat. I mean, pitcher Gold Glove is the laziest award in the game.
Yes.
They
give it.
What are you basing on?
This, I think this is the award where it's okay. Who won it last year? That's who's winning it this year. Because you look
pitcher
at
usually
you
is.
Look at it. I mean, for years it was Kenny Rogers or Mike Mussina or Greg Maddux.
Yeah.
I think Greg Maddux won what like 18 Gold Gloves.
Yeah, I mean, for years of the American League, like you said, it was either Kenny Rogers or Mussina. I think it came down to a coin toss.
Yeah.
And then the National League, there wasn't even a discussion. I mean, they probably, like, one manager called the other and said, hey, we're going Maddux, right? And everyone was like, oh, yeah, Maddux, for sure. I mean, from 1990 to 2008, the only season that it wasn't Greg Maddux was 03 when Mike Hampton won.
Mm.
I mean, just... Like, Maddux, I'm not going to say that he wasn't a great defender,
I just
but
I just don't like him being talked about so much. Like, oh my gosh, what a feat to accomplish to get like 18 consecutive gold gloves. There's no stock in that at all.
No, I mean, if you're talking about consecutive gold gloves as something being impressive, then look at Pudge Rodriguez's 13 gold gloves. Look at Keith Hernandez with 11. Look at Brooks Robinson with 16 or Mike Schmidt with 10. Look at Ozzie Smith with 13. These are actual, like, defensive gold gloves.
Yes.
A pitcher gold glove, it's not really anything to write home about. I mean,
nope.
It's basically something that'll make a good player look better. I mean, Greg Maddux, if he didn't win 18 consecutive gold gloves, would you say, oh, well, then he's not a Hall of Famer? No, because he's still, in my mind, in the top 10 pitchers of all time.
I think he's top five.
Yeah, I was probably sneaking his way into the top five. I mean, Jim Catt is a pitcher who's won a lot of...
I think he's one of those...
Bob Gibson, like...
Yes, I think he's probably one of the best non, like, strikeout pitchers.
Easily, easily.
He...
But, I mean, in terms of Gold Glove, that's not really anything that you need to talk about in terms of Greg Maddux's reputation.
No.
Like, if that comes up, it won't have to come up during his Hall of Fame voting because he's going to be in first ballot. Somehow not unanimously, but should be. And I really, like, if it comes down to someone having to say, hey, let's not forget about his defense, then they need to replace the voters.
Right.
Because if you don't vote him in strictly on pitching, then it's time for a change. So,
right.
Yeah, like, we'll go Burley just because the award doesn't matter and he made the between the leg nonsense play.
For the record, I
that Hawk Harrelson went nuts about.
For the record, I am. For those of you who don't know me, I have a very, very strong dislike for the White Sox. There's
and
not.
See,
there's
now
not really cost
us the Amy Preston appearance on the show.
Well, I mean, she can still come on. She just won't like me. She just won't like half of the people.
Yeah, if anything, it'll be a conversation where I won't be involved.
It's got. I'll tell you. I'll be completely honest. It's got a lot to do with their broadcasters, but.
I'd say it's the broadcasters. I don't like Ozzie Guillen. I don't like.
I've been waiting for Ozzie Guillen to get fired. I honestly don't know why he's still.
I don't like Kenny. Like the on the field product, I've got no problem with.
No,
that.
I know.
Like,
I
there's a lot of White Sox players I really like.
I know.
John Danks is one of my favorite AL pitchers, but they're non athletic contributions to the game.
Right.
I just can't
I hate their front office, and I hate Reinsdorf. I hate Kenny Williams, and I hate Ozzie Guillen, and I hate their broadcasters.
Yeah.
It's just I don't like the. Outs the off the field White Sox.
Yeah, Hawk Harrelson might be like one of the worst broadcasters, but that can be a different podcast altogether. That
yes.
could be an interesting one.
Yes, but I just to let you know, I also went with Mark Burley on that.
Okay, I figured.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the National League. For catcher, no brainer here. I'm going to go Yadier Molina.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you're not a Cardinals fan, if you don't know about Yadier Molina's defense. Look it up. I mean, you're missing out on... I mean, St. Louis fans, you're spoiled. Like,
right.
Most teams can see someone get gunned down at second, but how many non-St. Louis fans out there get to see on an almost everyday basis players get gunned down at first base
right.
by the catcher?
Well, I mean, it's almost like he's got to do it to keep himself like warm or entertained because nobody's running on him anymore. Nobody's like stealing second on him anymore. So he's got to get him at first because he doesn't have any.
It's like he's playing duck hunt.
Yeah.
It's just a game to him. He wants to see if he can pick him off. I mean, you see Yadier Molina as the catcher in all-star games and you've got guys that are some of the best stolen base threats in the game and they don't even attempt to run.
I know. I'm still waiting for the Ichiro stolen base attempt against Yadier.
I want to see Crawford go against Yadi. Carl Crawford's one of the fastest players in the games. I think that'd be interesting.
Both would be fantastic. Like, I want one of the, like, I think, honestly, they should make that into one of the, like, pre-All-Star game festivities. Like, you got the Home Run Derby, you've got the Futures game. Why not have a catcher's throwing out stolen base competition?
I think there's actually room for a lot of competition. That could be something we could work on and present to Bud Selig or his soon-to-be successor when he decides to retire.
I think it's 2012 or 13 when he's announced he stepped down.
Whenever his contract's up, he said he's stepping down,
great.
Thankfully.
Yes.
So let's go first base. We've got a couple candidates here. Who did you go with?
I went with Adrian Gonzalez.
Okay, so we don't have that many candidates because I went with Adrian Gonzalez. I thought there'd be a discussion.
No, I went with Gonzalez because, I mean, there's an argument for a lot of different first basemen in the National League to win this award, but I just think...
The strong thing about Gonzalez as a fielder, he's changing. He's developing his own style. He's got, like, it's a Mexican Baja style. of defense. I don't mean that as like a derogatory term, but it's a new hybrid style of first base
Right.
defense. I mean, most guys try to get in front of the ball. He'll sideswipe a ball. He looks like a shortstop playing first
he's
base.
A very,
he's a very agile
right.
person.
He's a very smart player. He's a lot like Albert, because Albert, he's one of those. Well, I guess Albert's right-handed, so he's been able to play different infield positions. They're both smart players. Adrian's a very smart defensive first baseman. I think he's going to win the award for as long as he plays first base in the National League, to be honest.
Yeah, I think he's the next Keith Hernandez, yeah. Where he just continues to win and win and win. Second base, I don't like the guy, and as we've seen this year, Yadier Molina doesn't like the guy, but I'm giving this award to Brandon Phillips.
I'm going to say a lot of the St. Louis Cardinals fans and players aren't big fans of Brandon Phillips. I actually went with Martin Prado with this one.
I think that's a serviceable pick. I mean, yeah. I feel like that could be one of those things. You kind of want to give Prado an award
because of his
for
offense.
His strong play this year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't think he really got enough service time at second base.
He was hurt, and then he had to fill in at third as well. So
yeah, for Gold Glove, that's going to hurt him just because he didn't have enough time at one position.
Well,
but I think Brandon Phillips takes this one.
Right. We say that, and then there was a time when at some point when Orlando Hudson was a Diamondback, and he missed like the last month and a half of the season.
Well, yeah,
wrist injury, and still got the award when I feel that someone else should have won it. But
yeah, it's a crazy, crazy award.
Yes.
Let's see. Let's look at third base. I'm going Ryan Zimmerman again here. Ryan Zimmerman is, between American League and National League, he is the best defensive third baseman in the game right now. He's a fantastic third baseman. I wish he were on a good team and people could see his defense. I think he's definitely one of... I think you could put him up there as one of the better defenders in the game.
Yes, I think he's got fantastic defense. I think he's, like, watching the plays I've seen him make, his reactions are unbelievable. And that's what third base is.
Yeah.
It's a reactionary. It's like...
Yeah, it's the hot corner.
Yes. I absolutely hate his throwing motion, to be honest. Like, it's underarm. Like, it's like a softball pitch. That's,
yeah.
I mean... But he makes the plays.
Sometimes that's all that matters.
Yeah, he's great defensively. I will throw out a consolation for Scott Rolen. Like, I think Scott Rolen, he played a full season, and he was good defensively again. So I think he'll get a lot of consideration.
I could see that. I could see him getting consideration, and it's a surprising pick, but I could see Chase Headley actually getting a lot of consideration.
Right.
He's made some big steps this year.
Yeah, shortstop.
Go to shortstop. It's a homer pick, but I think it's the right pick. I'm going with Brendan Ryan.
I think Brendan Ryan should win it. I think Brendan Ryan should have won it last year when Jimmy Rollins was given the award for whatever reason. However, I went with Troy Tulowitzki.
I can see that definitely as his defense is very solid,
yes.
But I can see that as a MVP consolation kind of pick.
Yes. Three outfielders.
Three outfielders for the NL. It was hard for me because the three guys I went with are newcomers. Well, two newcomers. I chose Michael Bourne. He won last year. I think he's definitely a hands-down
mm-hmm.
guy. He's going to get it regardless.
Yep.
My other two were a surprising player this year, Andrés Torres and Jay Bruce. Jay Bruce, he's coming up as a big-time player, and he's got a great arm. He's got great fielding.
I went with... Michael Bourne, like you said.
Solid pick.
A second guy that I went with is no stranger to the award, Shane Victorino. I personally don't like the pick either, but I think he'll get it.
He's one of those guys that gets consideration.
Yeah.
I think undeservedly.
He does not have a strong arm. He is quick. He does cover a lot of ground. He's won the award in the past. I think he'll get it again.
The last 2 years.
My third guy is interesting, and I think he deserves the award. I went with Marlon Byrd.
I think that's a good pick.
I think Marlon Byrd, he was the shining light for the Cubs this year. To be honest, I mean the Cubs offense just had so many problems this year, and Marlon Byrd offensively was good. And you had Milton Bradley last year, who was you. Wanted to kill the guy defensively, and then you had Marlon Byrd this year, who basically was the exact opposite.
Yeah, and I think he definitely turned a lot of heads in Chicago. I think he'd be a consideration
Yes.
for one of the better offseason signings of the year. Let's go for the National League pitcher. I went
As did
with a
I.
repeat winner. I
I
gave it to
think.
Adam Wainwright. It's same thing as the
Right.
American League.
I
It's
think
the
it's
pitcher Gold Glove.
with
I think they'll
Adam,
just
I think
go
it is yet
with who
again
won last year.
a Cy Young consolation prize, as we will get into that discussion more later. But
It's not...
I don't think you can go wrong with Wainwright. I mean, I really can't. Obviously, we're the pitcher we're talking about. There's nobody that jumps out at you that, oh, hey, this guy deserved the award more than he did. So,
No, because I mean, what do you look at?
yeah.
There's not a ton of plays to the pitcher, so yeah. So that's our Gold Glove wrap up. There's definitely chances for a
Right.
lot more surprises there than the Silver Slugger.
Tomorrow we're going to be talking about the Rookie of the Year and the Manager of the Year. So we hope to have you back for that one.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.